My name's Michelle Obu. I'm carrying this interview out on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date is 6th of August 2009 and the time is now 1:26 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
Yes, certainly. I'm Fiona Hadcroft. I'm 40 years old and I come from Burnley, Lancashire.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you feeling?
Giddy.
Giddy?
Yeah. Not scared, just giddy.
Looking forward to it?
Really looking forward to it, yeah. I feel it's a pleasure to be part of this experience.
Why did you want to take part in it?
Basically, I'm an art student and I have a great passion for sculpture, and Gormley's sort of a lot of his pieces that I've seen so far have excited me enough to sort of follow him and visit his website, which then that's how I heard about this project. So
what is it do you think you like about his work?
The form that he chooses more for just of his own body when he's doing these mass sculptures on Crosby Beach, for example, things like that.
Have you been there?
Yes, definitely. Surreal. Love it. I want to know how he would feel about where they've adorned sort of swim caps on some of the sculptures, and you know, does he have a pleasure in that? I think he would do.
How did you get down here?
By train.
When did you come down?
We came down last night. Arrived at 10 o'clock.
You said you were in the square. You were in London last week, in fact. As
yeah,
well, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in London for my. It was my 40th birthday, so I came down to celebrate by going round the art galleries, which I couldn't have thought of anything nicer to do, really.
And who have you brought along with you?
My husband's come, and I've got a few friends that have come as support. Nicola and Jasmine, art students from my college. So a big respect that they've come down, but they've brought their partners down as well.
You've got people watching you on the net as
yes,
well?
Yes, lots of family and friends say they're going to sort of be on and big me up on my support chart, so...
How did you feel when they told you you got a place on the plinth?
Really excited. First email that I received, sorry you've not been picked this time. My husband applied as well. He's an avid checker of his emails, and he checked the email for the last application. Oh, sorry I haven't been picked. So check your email. Congratulations. I must have read the email about 20 times that day. Kept going back and reading it again, so...
Do you know what you're going to do with your hair on the plinth?
Yes, I'm going to go on there and do the things that please me that I've been doing probably for about 40 years. Just be silly and just enjoy yourself. Celebrate my birthday again. I should be hula hooping, which I'm quite rubbish at, but I don't care. I kind of like the fact that I can do hula hoop tricks, but I'm very poor at it. But it still pleases me that I can accomplish it. So.
When did you learn to do that?
Hula hooping, could do it as a child, tried to pick it up again 2 years ago, couldn't do it at all. And we went to a beat herder festival a couple of months back, and there were some hula hoops on the ground, and I just walked over, picked it up, and could do it again really easily. And so for most of the festival, you just found me outside this hula hoop stall. I just kept going back and doing again. Came home, my husband ordered some pipe that you make them out of and produced 20 for me, so.
Are you going to take anything else up with you?
Yes, I'm going to set my clarinet up, which a great friend of mine gave to me last year on the condition that I learned how to play it, which self-taught, and I can only play one or two tunes on it, but I can, my best one that I needed to play was, it was due to be his birthday just after he gave me the clarinet, so I practiced like Billy O so that I could play happy birthday to him on the clarinet. So I will be playing happy birthday to myself while hula hooping, which will be quite funny.
Have you taught yourself to read music?
Yes, but not quick enough yet to play it from, I can do it from tab, from clarinet tab, which is easy. It's just like playing a really fancy recorder, so, again.
You said you're an art student. Tell
yes.
me a bit more about that. Where are you studying?
I'm studying at Blackburn College. Some great tutors there. They've been taught at Royal College of Arts, etc. It's brilliant. I started not this year, just gone the year before, took a total career change. I'm a trained clinical therapist and decided that it was making me quite glum. 10, 20 people a day that have all got illnesses and problems started telling on me. Time for a career change, so went to study, to start a foundation in art. And when I went for the first interview, there were three large paintings on a wall, and I looked and thought, why am I here? I'm not this standard. I'm kidding myself. And by the end of that year for our exhibition, that's where my three paintings hung. And I just, massive pat on my back. Each time we have sort of an exam or anything written to do, I come out with A's, so I'm doing really well. It's obviously a passion that was, I don't know, it had been squashed for many years without realising it. I wasn't allowed to, or allowing myself to explore that side, so.
Did you draw or paint when you were a kid?
Yes, as I left school, when I looked with hindsight, I should have continued with that. At the time, I didn't think that I was up to that standard, but when I look at the paintings that I did then, at 16, I was producing really good artwork. That was probably one of my greatest scores from school as well, so I should have carried it on, but now I'm carrying it on with enthusiasm, and also I can sort of direct myself easier than I could do at that age. So,
are you working as well as studying?
No, I'm devoting my entire time to get. I want a first. It's as simple as so. I have to give that time. I have four children, so between family life and college, that takes my time.
What's it like being going back to study?
Brilliant, absolutely excellent. I can explain. I had my passport photo taken just before I started art school, and I look a completely different person. My face is not glowing. I don't have this big smile that's back on my face. So I don't know. It's just good fun, and the people that I've met via college, brilliant as well. I've got some really close friends from just starting that degree, foundation degree rather, and carrying on now, which two of them have come down in big respect, because I know that they've not got pockets full of cash, so to travel down to London is really good.
And have your children reacted to your studying, and your husband, what do they think?
Love it, same, encourage me all the way. Both my two daughters, one, my younger daughter is at college with me now, but she's doing the foundation that I began last year. And my elder daughter, she's nearly 21. She did A-level art as she left school. So obviously it's something that I did do. I didn't realise that I was doing it, you know.
How would you describe your work?
My work? I'd put my into the contemporary side, but I like to explore all avenues at the moment. I'm still learning, and I intend to carry on saying that at the age of 90, that I'm still learning. So, but sculpture is my passion of found objects, and I recently made a piece that it evolved basically just from an armature, a Giacometti style armature, and then went to great lens with this mod rock to model and shape it into a form, which ended up representing myself. Big curvaceous hips, boobs, with arms outstretched, and in coming out of my hands were two coils of copper with little wire birds on. They represent my children, and I'm under sort of a wire cage, but it isn't a cage. People see it as a cage, it's not. It's the nest, it's the family nest. And the birds are sort of on these coiled springs flying, which I want them to fly the nest. So not because I want them to go, but because I want them to go and have fun and explore life, rather than being tied to apron strings.
Does it bother you if people misrepresent your intention, if they don't understand what you were trying to do?
No, not really. Selfishly, I'm producing my work for myself. If people get it or they don't, that doesn't really matter. It's the only way I can explain is at festivals, I'm a great giver of glitter. And some people, you will put a handful of glitter towards them and they won't even hold their hand out because they're worried that it could be something really bad in there, or a bomb or a spider, you know. And others will take it and squeal with delight that they've got a handful of glitter, and others will take it and rub it all over their faces, and, you know, and that's how my work is. Some people will love it, some people won't, some people will get it, some people won't. That doesn't matter.
Can you describe what you're wearing for me?
What am I wearing at the moment? I'm wearing a cute little pink dress with flowers all over that my husband purchased for me last year off American eBay, and underneath that I've got a net underskirt that I've... It was initially an underskirt that I wore underneath my bridesmaid dress for my sister many, 20 years ago. But I've actually incorporated more net onto this so it sticks out a little more. And I've also got a necklace on that was bought for my birthday that is, it's just a moustache I got from the Saatchi Gallery last week. And some people don't like it and they can't wait to come up and tell me so. And other people, you'll see them nudging each other and like, pointing to the friend and pointing and then giggling. And others will come up and say, whoa, moustache necklace. So, and that's what I'm wearing. But I will also be wearing my little favourite teddy bear ears when I go up there with a little tiara on it.
And you've got something down your top as well?
I've got something down my top. I've got Eduardo. Eduardo is a little mouse. We were sat having a cigarette and all of a sudden my husband just looked at the ground and picked it up. And he's a little knitted mouse. He's only, he's like about 1 inch long and he's tucked in my bra to keep him safe. but I have a passion for knitted toys. I have one toy that I've had since, it was knitted 2 weeks before I was born. He's called Banana and he's a really odd character, but he's forgot to come. He didn't actually jump in the suitcase before he was coming. And he's a little knitted guy and he's gone everywhere with me. He's sort of 40 odd year old now. My mum knit him. He was actually meant to be 6 foot job, you know. He was supposed to be good at least a torso size, and the nurse brought the wrong size of needles for her, and she brought really tiny needles, so he's just as big as the palm of your hand. And he's called Banana because he's got odd shaped arms that look like bananas, which he once ended up in a jumble sale, but that's a long story, you know.
Did you rescue him?
I rescued him. I run to the front. Basically, a little boy was crying at school, and Banana always helped me when I was sad. So I gave him Banana. His mum and dad were divorcing, and he was really heartbroken. And I told him that he must look after him forever, because, you know, if you don't want him, you give him back. And the day after, I asked him how Banana was doing, and he said they came round at school for the jumble sale collection, so he'd given Banana. Oh, my God. Right, I went home, and I told my mum in urgency, God, we have to go to this jumble sale tomorrow, please. And we went in, and I made her go before the doors opened, and in case somebody bought Banana, you know, as if they would. He's just my friend, you know. And anyway, we got there, and he was sat there, pride of place, on top of the stall. And I had, my mum had gave me, I think I had a pound note in my hand. And I asked, really worried if this pound note would afford him, you know. And they said 2 pence. I was gutted. I was heartbroken. You know, how can you think he's only worth 2 pence, you know. So yes, Banana ended up costing me 2 pence at one time.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Happy. My friends call me Fairy. This is a nickname that they've just adorned on me. My husband makes me feel like a princess. My kids make me feel like a princess too. I used to make witchy potions. I'm an aromatherapist as well, so I used to make lots of potions up, and this is why I nicknamed Fairy, because I would sort of cure their ills through my placebo potions, you know.
Do you still do the aromatherapy?
On my friends and family. Don't do aroma massage, just do the only sort of therapy that I do now is maybe magic creams, as I call them. So if people are feeling a little bit down, or their skin's a bit dry, or they've got a bit of athlete's foot, you know, I'll make them some cream up and magic it away. And that's how they sort of, I don't know, that's how I got nicknamed Fairy, I presume. But people say that if I sort of encounter people, I get told that I walk away leaving them feeling positive, so, which is good. That means I feel positive, so I've not been in times gone by, but that's life, isn't it? You dust yourself down and you climb back up and you put yourself on that plinth.
Just expand on that a bit. Okay. When you say that, do you mean at the time when you were a therapist yourself and you were feeling down, or another time?
Yes, no, when I was a therapist, I didn't realise that I were. My confidence, I've always been quite a confident person. I was brought up with confidence. My mum was a clown and stood on stages, God knows where, made me do it sometimes. I've had to, at the great Manchester Met, I've had to pull her off the stage because she was overrunning her time at the age of 14, which I wasn't pleased at the time about, but now I'm glad. But yeah, when I was doing therapies, I don't know, I'm a sensitive, I think maybe I'm too sensitive to be doing that kind of job. That was another reason why I came out of it. It was a job and I didn't see it that way. If you gave somebody a treatment, then to ask for money after, it felt vulgar, really, because you would see the person come in quite ill at the beginning, and after sort of 12 treatments, they'd buy insulin, they'd have changed their diet, and that, for me, if I can get people to change their diet, the food that we eat is a massive chemical reaction within your brain. So if you're eating the wrong food and putting the bad energies in, you're only going to get rubbish back out. If you eat well, you know, so to get somebody that's living on beige food, as I'd call it, chips, pies, bread, you know, just everything that's got no colour in your diet, if I can then see them at the supermarket and they've got a rainbow colour in the diet, predominantly fruit and veg, brilliant, I've succeeded. But that's something that I can't sort of stop doing now. So now and again I'll stop and laugh and say, oh, sorry, that's therapist Fiona coming out, and I'm actually an artist, I'm not a therapist anymore. So, and I don't know, that's the time that I think I felt down.
What are you going to do when you finish this degree? Have you thought about it?
Heck, yes. And if I can quote the words of one of my tutor sat there and put this question to us, which it was something I'd never really thought about why I was there. I was there for me, selfly. And he actually said, I'm going to kind of nearly swear. He just looked around the class and asked people why we was here. And he said, because if you're only here for you, you're just having a posh wank. And that made me think. At the first I was quite annoyed because I thought, you know, how dare you even presume that? But now I appreciate where he's coming from. If my penultimate goal, should I say, would be to be sustaining me and my family via doing my sculptures, that would be absolutely, swear again, the dog's bollocks is the only way I can describe, because it really would. That is my goal, to be able to get to where I want to be emotionally. And that would assist me in that, definitely. If I could walk to a beach somewhere and there were some of my sculptures there, brilliant. If I end up being, my sort of aim direction at the moment is to be a tutor, because I think that I get, well, all last year while I was doing the foundation, I was working alongside a lot of sort of 17, 20 year olds. Obviously at that year I was the oldest on the course. They looked up to me because I was still on their wavelength, but I could also communicate with the tutors as well. So I became this beeler from forward and backwards to the tutors that don't get you, or, you know, vice versa. And I don't know, a lot of the people came to me and said, you should be teaching, because the tutor would explain to do something, then I would explain it in their terms. I would motivate them to work if they were sat. One guy, Jack had a pen on his head, and he had the base of the pen just pressed against his forehead, and he was just doodling on the table because he didn't know what the hell to do. And it was, Jack, why don't you do that in your notebook and then document why you've done it? Oh yeah, good idea, you know.
Anything else you'd like to say?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. One more thing that I'm actually wearing is I've got my daughter's primary school monitor badge on because she gave it me for good luck while I was on the plinth.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.